Welcome to the Scotland Grows Show, the podcast partner of Scotland Grows magazine, where we celebrate Scottish gardening. I'm MT O'Donnell, publisher of Scotland Grows magazine, and your host for this adventure. We are delighted that this series of the Scotland Grows Show is sponsored by Roots, a subscription from National Trust for Scotland, which celebrates Scotland's flora in the form of a Roots pack sent to you every 6 weeks, containing Scottish seeds to grow at home for £6 a month. Sign up today at nts.org.uk/roots and use the code GROWS24 to receive an extra packet of seeds in your first delivery. Pam Whittle was president of the Royal Caledonian Horticultural Society, affectionately known as the Cali, from 2011 to 2016. She currently coordinates the Cali shows, and in this episode, Pam shares her passion for horticulture and the joy of participating in flower shows. Pam's involvement with the Cali highlights the Society's rich history and the opportunities it offers for both professionals and amateurs across Scotland, and she emphasises the importance of sharing knowledge and experiences. Pam has a large garden of her own, although she says she never finds enough time to devote to it, and she shares with us her love for daffodils, rhododendrons and broadbeans, along with her tips for new gardeners and the significance of having a seat in the garden for enjoyment and well-being. So Pam, welcome to the Scotland Grows Show. I am delighted to have you on the podcast and can't wait to chat to you further.
Well, we'll see what happens, shall we? You might regret it.
Now, for anyone listening, I see Pam on a fairly regular basis because I am on the council for the Cali, and Pam is a past president of the Cali and still extremely active in all of the activities that the Cali put on and everything that they do. In fact, the organisation would be lost without your expertise. So let's start by talking a wee bit then about the Cali for anyone who may not be very familiar with the organisation.
Right, let's start by the name, the Cali. The Cali is called the Cali because when you've been president, as I was for 5 years, and you have to go and introduce yourself to people, you say, I am president of the Royal Caledonian Horticultural Society. They have lost the will to live before they get to the end of that sentence. And many people think it's just the Royal Horticultural Society, which it is not. The Cali is Scotland's own horticultural society and was established in 1809 by some of the same members that actually set up the Royal Horticultural Society, mm-hmm. as they knew that growing in Scotland was different. The Cali is really important to Scotland because Scotland is different from England, and therefore the advice you get on a packet of seeds isn't always the same. And the benefits of joining the Cali are the fact that it's a mix of professionals and amateurs. I'm an amateur. I'm not a professional gardener.
Well, you're one of the most knowledgeable amateur gardeners I know.
Well, that's nice to hear. I can't guarantee that if you ask me the name of a plant, for example, I might forget. Mind you, I could go away 20 minutes later and tell you what the plant was, but that's beside the point. But knowledge is different. And funnily enough, you should say that. I was once talking to George. I was doing an RHS level exam and I said, but they asked me how to grow a carrot. And he said, well, you know how to grow a carrot. And I said, yes, but I've never written it down. And I think it's that sort of level of understanding. You don't know what you know because it's instinctive in you. But I do think the Cali has much more to offer than it's known for. I didn't move to Scotland until 2001. And I've had gardens in North Wales, in the southwest of England, in the southeast of England, and in the Midlands. And all of a sudden, I found that growing in Scotland was very different. And I didn't know what to do. So I joined the Cali. And I discovered they had a lot more knowledge than they made use of. And I am determined that the whole of Scotland benefits from that knowledge, including whether in the west, the north, the south, or the middle. And I got very frustrated once when I asked a question on the radio, and I asked a question and they said, oh, but you live in the Borders, it's warm. Do not. I live in the part of the Borders, which is one of the coldest parts of Scotland, I might add. And people just don't understand, not even knowledgeable people.
And that is the reason for having a Scotland-specific podcast to try and talk to gardeners from the length and breadth of the country and look at what grows well where they are, what doesn't grow well where they are, and just generally inspire people with things that can be done in Scotland. Because although our climate might be challenging, it also presents great opportunities to grow lots of different things. You not only joined the Cali, you then went on to become the president for 5 years. I know that you've been involved in helping to secure the heritage lottery bid in partnership with the City of Edinburgh Council. And that led to the restoration of Sockton Park, which now holds the base for the Cali. But with projects like that, was that a rewarding role for you then, being president of the Cali for 5 years?
Yes, but it's strange because when I was approached to become president, to be honest, I was really taken aback. The current president at the time was George Anderson. Well, I'm no George Anderson. I'm just a keen gardener. But I accepted that I had some skills that I might be able to build on George's sort of what he'd been doing and how he'd been trying to make the Cali more visible and aware. But at the same time, that was at the time when the Cali had a temporary home and it was sold. And therefore we had no home. And so it was that challenging period between 2011 and 2016 when we were endeavouring to get the, well, it was, I suppose in a way it was fortuitous that the council, the city council wanted to partner with the Cali to restore the park. And we had an arrangement which worked very well for the both of us because I needed a new home. And they wanted to restore the park because the park has a long and very interesting history, which has got strong associations with the Cali. And therefore, it was a really good way of building on that and expanding it. So in a way, it was very rewarding because we did that. We got the successful bid within my time frame. But of course, I've continued past that because it's important to keep it. I am now the only original member on the working group and on the management group, although some of the others keep in touch for obvious reasons, because it's a very, very beautiful project.
And it's nice for the Cali to have a home base because you can now put on shows and things because the administration is there. And that's one of the roles that you now overtake from the Cali, is to coordinate the public shows.
I do. We always had a spring show, but the history of the shows with the Cali has been many and varied over the years. And it was quite interesting. If you read the latest journal, if you're a member and you've got the latest journal, I point out how many different variations. And a spring show wasn't quite like it's been in more recent times. But I actually started becoming involved with the Cali through the spring show and Applegate. And so those were the two things that really got me really engaged. But the shows, I sort of ended up coordinating those by default. But we only used to do the spring show, and the spring show used to be done at the Botanics. But of course, the Botanics is undergoing its own restoration, so we knew our time there was limited in any case. So when we managed to move to Sockton, we don't have a space quite as large as we needed, so we made some changes. So now two shows at the beginning of the year, the spring bulb show, and then we have a auricular and primula show. And then that follows on by other shows later on, because it's nice to be able to share your plants with people, because that's the only way people get to see the variety of plants that there are.
Absolutely. And I can attest to the spring show in particular being such a fabulous day out. If you are a lover of spring bulbs and particularly of daffodils, not all daffodils on display, but if you come along to the spring show, wow. The range and variety of daffodils that you will see is quite extraordinary. Every division, every colour combination that you can think of. And it's a great way to get involved with flower showing if you've never shown anything at all. The Cali show this year is the 6th and 7th of April. So that would definitely be something I would imagine you would encourage people to come along to, even if they don't want to show their daffodils, just to come along and get a sense of what can grow really well in Scotland.
Well, that's what happened to me. And I got the bug. The first time I ever went to the show was to the Botanics when it was in a very small hall, the Cali's old hall at the Botanic site. And then it moved to a bigger room And so therefore you've got a better feel for all the different varieties. And I was standing there and I grew a few daffodils. Could I do this? And I was a bit nervous about doing it. But anyway, I was persuaded by a member to take part in the bulb workshop. And I've been bitten ever since. And I mean, I'm bitten quite bad because I not only show at the Cali show, but I show at Aberdeen, which is the weekend before the Cali show. I show at Dundee, which is the weekend after the Cali show. I then show at Keith, which is the weekend after that, and at Banff. So, you know, I'm daffodiled out by the end of April. I just love them. They're just such variety. And to be honest, it sounds complicated because there are 13 divisions. But once you understand what the basic characteristics are of the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6, to be honest, it's quite straightforward. You won't necessarily know the names of the individual ones, but you'll know what class to put it in. And I think that just makes such a lot of difference because you build your knowledge just by growing it.
And if you come along with a daffodil or daffodils that you wish to exhibit, there are always Cali members on hand to help you work out where to put that and what to do with it.
Yeah, we have a group of people who've done it before, and some of them don't even do it now, but used to do it. And they still come and they support and they help people and they show you how to stage them. I also run workshops. I still run the workshops and I do special ones for people who are newbies and they want to come along and learn how to put them in a vase and things like that. It takes a bit of practice, but you know, such good fun. Sorry, I really do love daffodils.
You do, and you wrote a very informative article for Scotland Grows magazine previously about all the different divisions. So I will link to that in the show notes as well so people can read up on that. But I was struck last year at the spring show by the amount of people who came along and then said, oh, I would like to enter. How do I enter this? What do I do? Can anyone enter? And it was that, trying to get across that message that yes, anyone can enter. Anyone at all.
Absolutely anybody. And even in the pandemic, we had people entering online because I encouraged them to submit their pictures. And, you know, that's quite hard, actually. It is a competitive show. There's no doubt about it. I do have proper daffodil judges who come and judge. But we have classes for people who've never shown before. We have classes for young people. We have classes for people who have done a little bit so that you don't have to do it. But you can also all join in the open classes because we don't charge anybody to enter. It's just fun. And it's how you learn, by taking part and sharing that knowledge. And I think that's important.
And I think that taps into a fundamental kind of principle of gardening, that it brings joy. And to walk into a room full of daffodils is just such a joyful sight to see.
Yeah. The other thing is, the thing I never understand why we don't have benches and benches full of amaryllis. We do include a class for amaryllis in the spring show. And they are the easiest bulb in the world to grow, and they only take 8 weeks. The only reason I often don't get them on the bench is because I probably knock the heads off getting them into the car just before the show. But apart from that, we should have dozens of those. They are so easy, and it's so nice to take part.
And that's a great point to make, that it isn't just a show for daffodils, it's the spring bulb show. So there are amaryllis, as you say, there are tulips. I have seen pots of muscari.
Yes.
What else did we have?
Scilla.
Yep.
Fritillaria.
Yeah.
Those things are, that's not every newcomer will grow, well, they'll have muscari probably in their garden, but they won't have thought of planting them in the pot for the spring show. But you don't have to enter a whole pot of things for the spring show. We have cut blooms. So if you've got one decent daffodil and one decent tulip, that's fine. And if you don't know the name, we still let you enter. And you just have to say unknown.
Unknown variety, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we want people to take part and enjoy gardening.
And then, of course, if anyone hasn't taken part in a show before, you won't understand yet that joy of putting in your entry, going away, and then coming back to see what the judges have done and to see who's been awarded first, second, and third in which class. And it's really nice to then go along and look at, wow, the judges thought that was a stunning daffodil. I wonder why. Yes. People are on hand to talk to you and tell you.
Yes, exactly. I remember once, George and I over the years have become quite personally competitive.
I think George is quite personally competitive with lots of people.
Well, I've never had a competitive bone in my life. And all of a sudden I find I'm, you know, quite competitive. And there have been a few examples of where we've been discussing each other's blooms and he might have adjusted his.
To compete with you?
And the other way around.
George Anderson, as we've said, is competitive, but Callum Clooney came along and exhibited as well. And
the last 2 years.
Yeah, he got a bit competitive too, so yeah.
Oh, Callum is worse. He's now in the big boys class. He can no longer be a novice or an intermediate, so he's in the big boys class now.
Yeah, so it's definitely a fun day to come along and just look, even if you don't want to exhibit. But if you do want to exhibit, the schedule is found on the Cali website.
Yes.
And all of the information about when to bring along your blooms and all the information that you need is just contained in a download that you can get from the Cali website.
Or they can just email me on springshow@rchs.co.uk.
And I know that on that email you will be happy to answer questions. So if someone wants to bring a bulb along and they're really quite nervous or they don't know what to expect when they get there, don't be shy. Pam will literally answer all of your questions.
I didn't know what to do either, so don't worry. We all start.
Spring bulb queen, would that maybe be an appropriate title to give you to add to your accolades?
Not sure about that one.
So apart from the spring bulb show, what else can people get involved with in the Cali? So after the spring bulb show, there follows the auricula show.
Yes, the auricula and primula show. On the first weekend in May. And then the second weekend in June, there's the cacti and succulent. And the cacti and succulent show this year will be done in partnership with the British Cacti and Succulent Society, a newly formed branch in Edinburgh. So that's quite exciting because we've run it for the last 2 years as a demonstration. But this year, because they're involved, it will be a competitive show. But it doesn't matter because we've still got newbies like me. I grow cacti, but I don't know one from another, to be perfectly honest. And I take it along and it'll tell me where to put it. And then I keep forgetting to write down what it is and where it's gone. But apart from that, it's really good fun because I grow cacti only because people in my family have been given them and then they don't know what to do with them because they've got too big or they've got too small. They don't know how to look up. So they sit in my conservatory and they just grow. And a lot of people have cacti like that or succulents like that. The show was very exciting the last couple of years. And I think this year, we only do it on the second. Normally we have things at Sockton on the first Sunday of the month, but the June is the second Sunday because we all go to school. So it's the second weekend for June. There's nearly always something at Sockton at the first of the month. We just don't have anything in January. But apart from that, there is something there every month. And sometimes it's a workshop, sometimes it's a workshop and a talk, sometimes it's just a workshop. And, you know, it's about encouraging people to come and to enjoy Sockton and to see it in its different seasons. It's a brilliant place to go at the moment because of the winter border. And we have volunteer gardening for members on Monday mornings and Friday mornings. When we have a dig day, you don't have to be a member because there's always enough people there who can buddy you. But for insurance purposes, we do require people who volunteer on Mondays and Fridays because they can then go off on their own to be members of the Cali. But it's really good. We quite like to do a lot more in other parts of Scotland. We're not wedded to the existing list. This list of things that we do now is relatively new. Because we didn't have Sockton until 2019 at the end of just. And then what happened the following year? The pandemic. So it's a new thing. So we're not set in stone. In the past, when I was president, we used to have talks in Glasgow. We never had a proper base in Glasgow. I'd love to do more there. And I'd like to do more in the north as well. But, you know, it's about finding a proper base where you can build that membership, because we do have members right across Scotland. It isn't, yeah. They're not all, I mean, I don't live in Edinburgh, and it's not all in Edinburgh, but you know, some people find it easier to get there than they do to other parts.
Yeah, I don't live in Edinburgh either, and the Cali is the Royal Caledonian Horticultural Society. It is Scotland wide, And the more members that get involved from different parts of the country, the easier it then is to facilitate things in different parts of the country.
Absolutely. So if you've got any ideas, let us know. Don't be afraid. Yeah. We won't bite your head off.
And then moving through the year, then there's an autumn show and then there's Apple Day.
Apple Day, yes. I almost forgot Apple Day, and yet that's really important. Apples have been important to the Cali since the 1800s, and it's quite interesting that people don't think we grow apples in Scotland, but we've always grown apples in Scotland.
And very well.
And very well. Although I must admit, when I was, I think it was one of my first Apple Days when I was volunteering at tasting. And so I spoke to Willie Duncan, who was the expert. And I said to Willie, what apples can I have in my garden? So he said, well, where do you live? So I told him where I lived. And how far above sea level do you live? So I told him how many feet above sea level. And he said, don't bother. But I do. I do grow apples. I do. I have about six apple trees in my garden.
And they grow well?
They grew beautifully. Yeah, beautifully. I had so many apples last year, I didn't know what to do with them. And yet other people were saying they didn't have any. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So that leads nicely on then to talking about your own garden, Pam. Tell us a wee bit then about your own garden. So it's quite a large garden, isn't it?
Yes. Well, when I moved to Scotland in 2001, I'd moved from a somewhere with very large gardens. Well, large and very large gardens. But I was working in Edinburgh and I couldn't afford anything in Edinburgh. So I bought a flat. I lasted 3 years and that was it. You know, I managed to get an allotment, but I still could not cope. It was just not on. Anyway, so in 2005, we moved out to the borders. And you would not describe my garden as a gardener's dream. It is northwest facing and the house is at the top of a 45 degree slope. So the garden slopes away at 45 degrees northwest facing. You know, it's a nightmare and it's very cold. I have been down on more than one occasion to minus 19. It's minus 8 last night. You know, it's a cold spot. It's not very far from Doic. So it's in the borders, but it's the cold bit of the borders. The whole site is an acre. And the garden was 95% grass. I don't have much grass. I like cutting it. I won't cut it, in fact. My husband cuts it. And even he doesn't like it either. I think so. Every time we get a bit bored, we dig up another bit. And so over time, we've sort of dug it all up. I have two greenhouses. But because we look down on the garden, it is quite, I felt it was important to actually have structure and shape in the garden. Because when you walk out into your garden, you see the garden from a different perspective than when you're looking down on it. So it has to look nice for me to look down on as well as walk into. So the structure, it has got a lot of permanent planting. It has flowers as well, but it has a lot of permanent planting. I used to have an enormous vegetable section, and that's because I'm a very keen vegetable. Well, I was. But there's only the two of us now. You know, family used to live close by. They don't live close by any longer. So why do I need such a huge... Anyway, so that's part of the vegetable garden has now been taken over as a Japanese garden. And, you know, I call it a garden under development because I keep making changes. I've got two greenhouses, one of which I use for growing alpines normally. You wouldn't believe that if you looked at it at the moment. And the other one is I use it for my vegetables and for my daffodils when I take them out of the plunge.
So it's an ever-evolving space, as gardens should be.
I don't want to move, you see. And yeah. I'm not a chick. So I don't want to move. And so we've widened the path so we can get a buggy down eventually. And little things like that make a lot of difference, you know.
Absolutely future-proofing your space.
Well, we're trying.
So if you could only have three plants then in your garden, Pam, and every guest of the podcast has asked this question because it's so interesting for listeners to be able to compare across episodes. But if you could only have three plants in your garden, which plants would you choose? And why would you choose those ones?
Daffodils. I grow about 100 and... Yeah, that surprised you.
That surprised, no.
I grow about 150 different types of daffodils.
Wow.
I really do like daffodils. My grandmother used to like... I come from a gardener family of gardeners. And my grandmother loved daffodils. And in fact, when she died, we all had to wear blue and yellow to her funeral. It was a little bit, you know, inappropriate. But anyway, never mind. But daffodils, I do like daffodils. So I would have daffodils because I hate January. I'm really getting quite excited because the bulbs come out of the plunge in the middle of February. And that is, it's just so lovely. Anyway, so I grow daffodils and I like rhododendrons. I've only ever been able to grow rhododendrons in one of my many gardeners before because we've moved a lot. My husband's a geologist, but I didn't have much growing space for them. And I do like rhododendrons. In fact, apart from taking me to a coal tip, the first gardener he ever, the first date he ever took me to was to Stourhead in Wiltshire to see the rhododendrons. So, you know, it's got nice. So my grandmother liked rhododendrons. I love rhododendrons. And apart from growing them in pots in other gardens, it's the first time I've ever been able to grow them aplenty within the garden. A lot of people don't like rhododendrons because their flowering period is short and then, you know, it's just structure. But because I like structure in the garden, that suits me fine. And I have learnt how to choose the right rhododendron for my garden. Over in the west of Scotland, you have much greater choice because of the weather conditions there. But over here in the east, and certainly where I am, I have to ensure that they're very tough and not just tough, but flower at the right times. Because if they flower, if the buds are there and we get cold, late frosts, then I'll lose all the blooms. But anyway, most of the rhododendrons have been in there quite a long time and therefore they're quite big and blousy now.
Yeah, I like a rhododendron too, because as you say, it's a short flowering period, but gosh, the blooms are just, and what a show, they're amazing. And you have that lovely evergreen structure for the rest of the year.
What I do find it a bit frustrating though, because people think you can't grow rhododendrons because of ponticum. You know, I get so frustrated with them. No, that is one particular rhododendron that you need to avoid. I confess though, I think in one house we were in for a wee while, there was a ponticum hedge, but I just cut it. It didn't spread because I just cut it like a hedge. It still flowered.
So you would have in your ideal garden, lots and lots of daffodils, lots of rhododendrons, and what would be your third choice?
A vegetable. You know, you have these careers talks and they say, well, what do you really want to do, Pam? And I'd say, well, I want to live in Scotland and I want to grow vegetables. So I then thought about what vegetable would I absolutely choose. And it would be a broad bean. And it's a broad bean because the ones you buy in the shop are horrible. The ones you grow are so delicious. And it's quite interesting. I had somebody come to Stockton last year, a young man with his family, and he had an allotment. And his girls were with him and they didn't like beans, he said, but they liked peas and they liked, you know, other things. So I picked a broad bean and I gave the children the beans and they loved them. I said, you just got to get them fresh. You've just got to get them fresh and you don't wait till they're big and old. You just have to have them young and succulent. Oh, I love them.
Yeah, there's nothing beats the taste of growing your own produce in your own garden.
It was really hard to try to choose one vegetable. I didn't want to choose the tomato because the tomato there in the greenhouse. I think if everybody in Scotland could grow a broad bean, doesn't matter where you live, cold or hot.
Well, luckily, I'm not going to ask you to just have those three in your garden, but it was if you had to narrow it down to only three, those are great choices. So given all your experience, Pam, and everything that you do, what is the best advice that you would give to new gardeners or those who just want to get started gardening?
I would say don't be scared because people don't think they know how to do things. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid to ask. We do get people who grow things in allotments and they just come along and see how the one is doing at Sochton, that they've planted something, and they just want to compare it. Don't be afraid. So, you know, I know when we're out there that they get brave sometimes. You know, I can see where people have made, even some of our volunteers have made mistakes and things. It doesn't matter. It's about enjoying it. It's about being outdoors. It's about that sort of level of, but to be honest, it was always my stress bust, digging. And I quite like weeding as well, believe it or not, although I do an awful lot of it. But it's just about that whole sense of well-being, which I think is just so important. But my other real advice is don't try and do too much at once. I mean, I've got an acre of garden. I didn't do it all at once. I did one little bit and then another little bit and dug up another bit. And I'm still digging up a bit. You know, we make changes all the time. It's fine. And if you do something and you don't like it, don't worry about it. Do something else.
Yep, lift it, move it.
Yes. But I think the most important thing is to have a seat wherever you are. I think it is important. I've just discovered that I don't have a seat in a key part of my garden, and I have lots of seats. Have a seat and enjoy the garden and be outside and get that level of fresh air. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, that's a fabulous tip, to have a seat in an area where you're looking at a view of the garden. And it's a great way then to just enjoy all the hard work that you put in.
Yeah, I know. And I can't believe that I'm down at the bottom of the garden, because we're building a garden office at the moment, and I'm looking up the garden. I don't very often do that from that particular aspect. And I thought, that needs changing. So it's even more gardening going.
Excellent. Now, I know you'll kill me for saying this, which is why I've left it to the end. But Pam is being awarded the Scottish Horticultural Medal this year from the Cali. And that's an award made to someone who's made an outstanding contribution to Scottish horticulture. It was an award first introduced in 1959 to mark the 150th anniversary of the society. And only 50 recipients at any one time can hold this award. So on behalf of Scottish gardeners, I would just like to say huge congratulations to you. It's an award that's very, very well deserved, Pam.
Thank you. I've actually turned it down before.
I know. And I hope you enjoy receiving it and celebrating and enjoy holding it.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Pam, for being a guest on the Scotland Grow Show and for sharing all your enthusiasm with Scottish gardeners. And I cannot wait to see you and hopefully lots and lots of listeners at the Spring Bulb Show on the 6th and 7th of April.
And I promise to have my hair done by then.
Thanks, Pam.
Don't forget to follow us on social media by searching for Scotland Grows across Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn. And sign up for our mailing list at scotlandgrowsmagazine.com so you never miss an episode of the Scotland Grow Show. And if you are not yet subscribed to receive Scotland Grows Magazine, 6 times a year, straight to your inbox, literally packed with Scottish gardening goodness, then be sure to do so as soon as possible. And you'll even get access to all the back issues. Details can be found on our website at scotlandgrowsmagazine.com, across our social media feeds, and in the show notes for this episode. The information on the National Trust for Scotland's Roots subscription is also in the show notes, and they would appreciate your support to help National Trust for Scotland's gardens and designed landscapes thrive. I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the Scotland Grows Show as we celebrate Scottish gardening.